the U.S. ranks behind dozens of other countries in literacy. One in six American adults has low literacy skills. In Wisconsin, about 7% of the population has low literacy. There's a lot that goes into that. And our next guest says a big part of the solution can happen long before kids even start school. In her new book, she shares advice to help kids get ready for reading starting at age zero. You can join in at 800-642-1234. How did you learn how to read at an early age? How do you help your kids? Do you have questions about what you can do to build literacy skills at early ages? If you teach in preschool education or kindergarten, first grade, what thoughts do you have for parents out there on getting kids ready for reading? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Maya Payne Smart is a Milwaukee-based literacy advocate and affiliated faculty in educational policy and leadership in the College of Education at Marquette University. Her new book is called Reading for Our Lives, a literacy action plan from birth to six. Maya, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
To start with, you're kind of sounding the alarm on the importance of starting on literacy way before school starts. Tell us why that's so important.
It's so important for parents and educators and everyone really in our community to start thinking about reading with infants and toddlers, because so much brain development happens in those early years. And so much of the groundwork that supports future reading success happens long before kids can make sense of text on a page.
How much difference does it make for that kid? Say they're just hitting kindergarten. How much difference does it make to have a background in some of this pre-literacy learning that they might get from their parents or from a child care center?
It makes a huge difference. There are numerous studies that document a positive correlation between things like the number of letter names that a child knows at kindergarten entry and their reading ability down the road, because all of these skills kind of build on one another. And so the vocabulary that parents can introduce first orally, language development supports literacy development down the road. But all of those words that parents are speaking to kids, whether reading a book or just engaging in conversation in everyday life, contributes to the words that they'll be able to recognize and print down the road. And then there are so many other skills, the ability to discern sounds within words or the ability to recognize different letter shapes. All of those things contribute to reading down the road. And so it's important for parents to have an understanding of how it unfolds over time.
We'll dig into a lot of the practical advice you give in the book. One more point I want to get to before we do that is, yeah, it's been a day or two since my kids were that little. But I remember, you know, when I'd read to them, I'd like, great, this is the magic ingredient. Reading to them is going to do it. Reading your book, reading to kids is great, but we need a little more. Why isn't just reading to them going to do the job?
I think many parents are in the same boat that you were in, where you think of the book as this magical device and also this magical experience with your child. So it's just important to remember that it's really about you and the child and the relationship and that dynamic exchange back and forth with them. So the book is important to the extent that it prompts conversation and to the extent that they're paying attention to some of the print on the page. But the magic is really in that relationship. And so I, in the book, devote two chapters actually to the power of conversation and talk, just to really emphasize that point to parents, that it's not just about the words that we're saying, whether we're speaking aloud or narrating what we're doing during the day. It's about that turn-taking, the back and forth, serve and return duet of conversation with the child. And when we ask questions, it gives them a chance to formulate responses and, again, build those brain connections that are so important down the road.
Talking to Maya Payne Smart about her new book. It's called Reading for Our Lives, a literacy action plan from birth to six. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Were there things you did to encourage literacy, maybe for your own kids in that preschool era? Do you have questions for our guest? Are you a new parent? Maybe need some advice. I know I did. 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234. And Maya, yeah, when I saw age, you know, from birth to six, I thought, well, wait, how can kids be reading at birth? Well, they can't. But you were just talking about that idea of modeling conversation, a back and forth between a parent and a kid before that kid can even talk. Can you spell out how that works?
Absolutely. So it's important for parents to recognize all of the attempts at communication that their infant is making. So while your three-month-old isn't going to respond in words or sentences, they will give you coos and babbles that indicate their engagement and indicate their learning. So if we treat those babbles as conversation or respond to those and ask questions and just proceed as if it's a typical conversation with words, we're creating so many wonderful learning opportunities for that child. And I think it's also important for parents to recognize that when the littlest babies are slapping at the book or chewing it, throwing it, all of that is important exposure to books, but also important sensory learning for the child. So don't discount that.
And speaking of those books, you know, me reading to a kid, great. Letting the kid interact, you say, is really the key. Talk about ways we can do that starting at an early age.
Kids are learning when they're interested in paying attention and engaged. So hearing the story, they're going to pick up wonderful vocabulary and knowledge and background information. When they're older, let's say 3 or 4, and they start to pay attention to the print, and you're dragging your finger from left to right, that's teaching them something about print, or you're showing that the text moves from left to right or top to bottom of the page. There are just so many lessons within the book objects. But again, the parent brings the lesson alive by paying attention to the child, noticing what they're interested in, and responding with words and gestures.
And so it can be things like point at the dog or help me turn the page or whatever is age appropriate, right?
Absolutely. And the age-appropriate piece is so important because there's so much growth and development that happens from birth, which is why I started the book mentioning from birth all the way to 6 years, because learning does look different at different ages. That 12 to 14-month-old may be pointing to familiar characters or objects in the book, or they might point to things that they want you to name. They may be beginning to hold a crayon and make marks, the beginning of writing. So when parents have a little more knowledge about what's going on developmentally with children, they're better able to help the child get to the next level. And to your point earlier, we're not advocating that babies can read, but we are saying that parents can nurture future reading through this type of engagement.
One big theme in your book, I think parents might hear this and think, oh my God, I'm already trying to feed my kids and make sure their sheets are clean and whatever, and, you know, and to have a job and things like that. I can't do hour-long reading lessons every day too. A lot of the stuff, so much of the stuff you're talking about is stuff we can work in to our daily routines, right?
Yes. And there are so many opportunities in the day to build these things in. When the child is waking up or at a mealtime or bedtime or bath time or any of those routine moments, all of those everyday occurrences can be reminders to engage around language. One of my favorite examples is, I talk in the book about phonemic awareness, which is building awareness of the sounds within words. And I talk about how to do that with nursery rhymes and songs and wordplay and different things. And one parent, as a reminder to sing nursery rhymes, got a changing pad for their diaper changing station that had nursery rhyme imagery printed on it. And so it was just couldn't be a more timely reminder. So we often think of reminders on our calendars and clocks and things like that. But those physical reminders in the space where you're engaging in something with your child every day anyway are great opportunities to teach in a fun, playful way.
It's Brianna Coller at 800-642-1234. Susan is with us in Madison. Susan, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to ask Hello. About, Susan?
Hi. I'm a grandparent of a 3-year-old and a 4-year-old toddlers, and my daughter is career-minded, and her husband is too. They got busy lives. I want to support them. I want to help the grandkids out learning literacy and that. I can buy them books. I can buy them gifts for reading and that, but it may sit there. Do you have any tips on grandparents, how they can support this lifestyle?
Grandparents. Absolutely. Grandparents are so critical. Both of my daughter's grandmothers have played a major role in her literacy development. Even to this day, she's now entering 5th grade and is in a book club with one of her grandmothers. So grandparents, we encourage you to get involved as much as you can. But you can teach vocabulary as well, just in your conversations with the little ones and labeling and pointing and asking questions and being sure to keep the conversation going and giving them opportunities to respond and all of that grandparents can do. And you can also teach some of these lessons. You mentioned your grandchildren were 3 to 4 years old. That's prime time to start bringing their attention to print. Many parents don't realize that often when you're reading picture books with kids, they think the story comes from the pictures. They're not always aware that the story lies in those black marks on the page. But even without a book in hand, if there's a stop sign or words on a graphic t-shirt, whatever print is in their environment, you can teach little lessons by just describing that those letters are all made of lines, dots, and curves, and saying, oh, look at that A, it's made with 3 lines, 2 long ones that go this way and this way, and you know, trace the short one in the middle. But that talking about letters and print, naming them, getting them to pay attention to those shapes, all of that really contributes.
Susan, thanks a lot for that call. We're talking to Maya Smart about her new book, Reading for Our Lives, with advice on building literacy skills for kids even before they go to school. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you remember learning to read? Were there key things that you think helped you along the way or that you had trouble with along the way as a parent or grandparent? How have you worked to try to help your kids get ready to learn to read? Or do you have questions for our guest on how to do this stuff? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We're picking up our talk with literacy advocate Maya Smart about her new book, Reading for Our Lives, a literacy action plan from birth to 6. You can join in with your experiences or your questions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Back to your calls now. Christina is with us in Glenwood City. Christina, hi.
Hi there. Thank you. Well, I have been sending colorful cards to my 4-year-old niece ever since she was little. I write a detailed message. She has kept all of those cards, and she'll take them out, and she will read stories. She'll make up stories about what I've said, or she'll look at the colors of the cards or the animals, and she will just talk about what's going on in the card. And that has really kept us connected with each other. And I think it's made her very articulate.
I love it, Christina. Thank you so much. Maya, that fits into a lot of things you talk about in your book, including community, connection with other people as being something that helps develop literacy.
Absolutely. Parents are stressed and starved for time and dealing with a lot of different things. So when you recognize that you don't have to do it all on your own, that you can rely on your network, your relatives, your neighbors and friends, librarians, pediatricians, and this bigger and bigger universe of people who are all supporting your child as a reader, it makes things easier. But connection, communication, all of those things that engage the child and get them interested in print and reading and writing, it's all wonderful.
Thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. Tom joins us now in Milwaukee. Hi, Tom.
Hi. Your guest has spoken of talking with a child or reading to a child, but I wonder where does someone or a family comes from a culture of an oral tradition of telling stories? Where does that fit in?
Well, interesting. Tom, thanks. Maya, any thoughts on that?
Yes, an excellent question. And oral storytelling and those rich family and cultural traditions are so wonderful, and they also contribute to reading success. We just have to be clear on the contribution they make. So obviously they make contributions to that child's vocabulary and their cognitive skills, critical thinking, social connection. But what they're not going to get from oral storytelling is that familiarity with print. So they're not going to learn that text moves from left to right and top to bottom of the page. They aren't going to gain familiarity with recognizing the letters in print. So continue with the storytelling, absolutely, and know that it has value and is wonderful and contributes to their ability to understand what they read down the road, and also just to have all of this rich vocabulary and background knowledge to build upon, but know that they also need print awareness, which can come from books or, as I mentioned earlier, text that appears on cereal boxes or t-shirts or in other contexts.
Tom, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Talking to Maya Smart about her book, Reading for Our Lives, a literacy action plan from birth to six. Maya, before we go back to our callers, I wanted to get your advice for, say there's somebody out there listening, they're a parent, and they're thinking, hey, I never developed good literacy skills myself. I'm not a strong reader, maybe even a little intimidated by it. Do you have advice for them on how to help their kids out anyway?
The main advice is to play to your strengths and be confident in knowing that the conversation that you have, listening to them, responding to their coos and babbles, and other communication as they get older, all of that is valuable and supports reading and literacy as well. And then even when it comes to teaching specific literacy skills or building their awareness of letters and print, most parents, even if they aren't tremendous readers themselves, know more letters than that three-year-old or that four-year-old. So you can lean into what you do know and be sure to share that. And then you can also look to your community and support maybe story time through librarians for them to get even more exposure to language and opportunities to get familiar with books. And talking to your pediatrician about those developmental milestones and how they're tracking and where they're going and where there might be opportunities to bring in specialists or other support. So definitely do what you can, do it with confidence, do it with joy, make it playful, songs, games, all of that is wonderful.
Go back to our callers at 800-642-1234. Juanita is with us in Fitchburg. Juanita, hi.
Let's go back to our callers at 800-642-1234.
I'm hearing Juanita's radio. I guess Juanita wanted to mention using music to help words come to life. That sounds great. Let's go to Susie now in New Berlin. Susie, hi.
Hi. I was going to mention when my kids were little, we used to play the alphabet game while we were in the car. Whether we were in the, you know, out in the country or in the city, they had to find the letters of the alphabet. We wanted to see, especially in town, how fast we could go through the whole alphabet. So they had to look at the signs outside and find A and then B and then sure. C and then, you know, through all the way, obviously all the way through. Also just reminding them that, you know, we read for a lot of reasons, not just in books, you know.
Great. Susie, thanks a lot for sharing that. Yeah, I think the story is I learned my first letter was a letter K because to drive anywhere from where I was, you had to go by the Kmart. And there was a big
yes.
K. But Susie, that's a great example, Maya, of the kind of things we could do, again, without even cracking a book open.
Absolutely. Those everyday opportunities that are fun and enjoyable. So if it's a game, don't think that it's not teaching or that they aren't learning, because they absolutely are. And the more fun and engaging it is, the more time they're going to spend on task building that letter knowledge in that case. But songs, all of that is wonderful. I met someone over the weekend whose son was deemed the king of kindergarten at his school because of his strong reading when he entered school. And the mom explained that he learned it because they had a karaoke business. And he spent a lot of time watching people sing while seeing the text that they were singing, each word light up as they sang it. And so it wasn't with a book in hand, but it was still making that print sounds connection.
Excellent. Thanks for that call. I learned the rest of the alphabet, by the way, from baseball cards, the numbers too. Back to your calls now. Barb is with us in Winneconne. Barb, hello.
Hello. I'm a retired reading specialist. It's been 20 years already since I've been out, but it brought a big smile to my face when I heard Maya talk about her advice, because it hasn't changed in 30 years. It's the same things that we've been telling parents for a long time, so I'm so happy that that's what the message still is. And as far as the grandparents, the biggest reason I probably became a voracious reader was my grandmother. My grandma always had a stack of books next to her chair, and she would read that stack of books. Every week, my aunt would go to the library and look for a new stack of books for her to read, and she was having trouble finding new mysteries that Grandma hadn't read yet. but it made a big impression on me because I saw Grandma read, but I also saw Grandma really enjoy that reading.
Gotcha, Barb. Thanks for the call. Maya, the idea of modeling reading for our kids, do as I do, in addition to do as I say.
I think that that's part of it. And I know my daughter learns a lot about how much we value reading from the amount of time that she sees her grandmothers and parents reading. But watching us read doesn't necessarily teach her anything. So that's why I wanted in the book to really break down those foundational skills so parents can teach with more intention in daily life. And as the caller mentioned, they are classics. Like, they're the things that it takes to become a reader are the same things that it took 30 years ago. Vocabulary, the sound awareness, print awareness, letter knowledge, making those letter sound connections. So those are all classics, and parents can benefit from just thinking about them and intentionally inserting those opportunities to teach them.
Thanks a lot for that call. Just 30 seconds or so left. Maya, can you leave us with maybe some resources for more, apart from your book, of course, where people can find more info?
Yes, I encourage parents to take a look at developmental milestones, particularly with the younger kids, so that you are tuned into how much they're growing and developing. And it just keeps in your mind this sense of progress and boosts your curiosity and interest and attention to what they're doing so that you can respond and keep conversation going and ask questions, label and point, and all of those things that we discussed earlier. You really are your child's first teacher, and you can become their best teacher when you become more intentional about it.
Maya, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
That's Maya Payne Smart, a Milwaukee-based literacy advocate. We talked to her about her new book. It's called Reading for Our Lives, a literacy action plan from birth to six. If you still have a story to share about how you learned to read or helped someone else learn, you can still do that over on the Ideas Network Facebook page.